What's up, everybody? It's Alexa here with Core of Conduct. So in this episode, we're going to talk about healthy relationships with food and unhealthy relationships with food. So I'm going to get a little personal here. So everything that I learned about relationships with food is everything I learned from a boy in college. So I was in love with this boy, and I'm not going to say his name because he could potentially be listening, and that would be embarrassing. This boy in college, and I was very anti-dating because I was very focused in on running, and then this boy popped into my life my junior year of college, and something about him I was just fascinated with. I loved his company. He challenged me in so many ways, and he also played hard to get, which, you know, when we're all young, it's very attractive to chase somebody that doesn't want you back. And I am a strong badass, but I totally collapsed under his charming personality. He was one of the stars of the football team, and I think that he could have liked me, but he wasn't into me like the degree I was into him. And so the point of this is that I did everything to be around him. I would find ways to run into him, which made myself look really stupid and awkward. I cringe at the things that I used to do to make myself appear in front of his view. I would write study guides for him, and so he barely had to do any work in the class, and I would always help him with his homework, and he would give me so much attention, like hold my hand when we were doing all this, but in public, when he was around all his football friends, he either didn't pay attention to me or gave me little attention versus what he would do in private. So I realized that through this, I was constantly asking myself, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't he like me? Why am I not pretty enough? What can I do to make him fall in love with me? And like I said, it was this constant cyclical mindset of like, how do I get this boy's attention and to fall in love with me? And this was a very unhealthy relationship. I mean, even though we weren't in one, it was still somewhat of a relationship that we had. And I really like Emily Ragan's article. She has an article out there on her campus called 10 Signs of Unhealthy Relationships. You guys should check that out. But basically, the seven that I really clung on to was 1, lack of communication, 2, isolation, 3, dishonesty, 4, disrespect to your body, 5, dependence, 6, controlling, contact fighting, and then 7, controlling behavior. So those are, obviously this was like to a heavier, this article's a heavier degree than what I went through, but, you know, me and him had a lack of communication about how we felt. Like neither of us said anything. Like I didn't tell him that I was madly in love with him and that he was really hurting me by not communicating with me and like showing the same amount of affection in public versus private. And then he wasn't communicating to me, telling me he had no feelings for me at all. So it was just like this lack of communication. I would also isolate myself from my friends to like go hang out with him and help him study, which was dumb because it only benefited him in the end. And then also in our own isolation, this boy, you know, acted like he loved me. And then disrespect to the body. So, you know, like I feel like I was being disrespectful because I was just trying to be this girl that I wasn't. I was wearing like Daisy Duke shorts, which, you know, is totally fine for other people if you could pull that off. But that just wasn't my personality. But I fell into that, you know, wearing these cowgirl boots with those and trying to do my hair all perfect. My hair is a crazy wild mane. So that just took a lot of effort. So I just don't want to do that anymore. But I was, and like, you know, I just wasn't feeling pretty enough at all. And I am a pretty person, but in that thing, I just wasn't. And I was dependent on him, completely dependent to make my day great. I needed to talk to him. I needed him to smile at me. I needed him to acknowledge me. I needed him to ask me for help. I needed to feel needed. And so my worth was dependent on him. When we fought, it was over things that we weren't communicating about. And yeah, so anyway, how I want to translate this over to food is that what I learned from this boy was I was totally obsessed with him and not in a psychotic way, but just like my life was consumed by him. And what I see a lot of people happen with a lot of people is that they get obsessed with food. They get obsessed with tracking food. They get obsessed with certain diets, and they get really unhealthy with their food. What started out as healthy, meaning making a shift to cleaner foods and maybe just like a more disciplined regimen, turns into obsession. And there's a fine line, like we've talked about this before, there's a fine line between commitment and focus and obsession. And how it becomes an unhealthy relationship with food is when you fall into one of the seven signs that I talked about from Emily's article, or the 10. And so let's just review those seven again, but now instead of a relationship, let's translate that to food. So if you have lack of communication with your body, meaning let's just say, for example, you think that you need to eat 1,300 calories and your body's asking for more after a hard workout, but because you have your phone tracker and it's telling you you already reached your 1,300 and you're hungry, so you can't have any more. That's lack of communication with your body. Because your body's asking for something and you're not going to give it to it. You're just shutting it off. Or, you know, like you're full and then your tracker says you only ate 1,000 calories so far in this day, but you're full, but you force yourself to eat it just to hit that number and see that you successfully checked the box. Number two, isolation. So when your friends want to go out to pizza or they want to go out to a bar and that's air quote unhealthy, then you decide not to go because you'd rather stay at home and look at your calorie counter and see that you've ate the perfect amount of food. Dishonesty, you know, dishonest about your views of yourself physically and mentally, and that kind of goes along with disrespect to your body. I mean, if your worth is found in these phone trackers or on the scale and it's not exactly what you want to see that day, or you were traveling or you were at a family member's house or holiday and it didn't go exactly how you planned, and then you beat yourself up with abusive comments or abusively working out, and then you say mean things about yourself, then that's just dishonest and disrespectful to yourself. And then again, going back to that dependence thing where you're finding your worth here, that's just on a certain diet calorie tracker scale, that isn't where you should find your validation for success for the day. 6 and 7, contact fighting and controlling behavior. I think that contact fighting can go in conjunction with disrespectful to your body, but if you're constantly fighting your body, and I get it, guys, like sometimes it is hard to maintain a certain weight. But have you ever thought that if you're doing all the right things, like lifting weights, doing cardio at a healthy rate, eating well, that if you don't hit that number, are you happy at your body weight? And can you be happy at your body weight, especially if your body hasn't changed in years? Are you fighting something that will never exist? That's just something to think about. And then a controlling behavior, right? Like I challenge so many women that I work with, like, hey, can you put your phone down and just have a meal and not track it? And it literally gives them anxiety. And that's because they can't control themselves, or they can't control their phone when they open it to see like that they've hit that exact number. So it's important to learn to have a healthy relationship with food. And don't get me wrong, guys. Tracking and journaling can be beneficial, especially if you haven't ever been educated in what nutrition looks like for your body. So, you know, tracking can offer an opportunity to educate yourself, but it shouldn't be your master or your slave owner. By that, I mean, it shouldn't be something that you rely on for the rest of your life. It should be a short amount of time, again, where you're educating yourself and you're saying, what makes me feel really good during a workout? What makes me feel shitty during a workout? What made me feel really good after I did my post-workout? And then how did I recover and come back 1 or 2 days later? Or asking yourself, you know, what did I eat for dinner that day and what made me shit my pants? Like, just like, I mean, it's not that extreme, but it can be. Like, it's just tracking how your body reacts, and then understanding your triggers, and then letting your body just do its thing by being intuitive. And that's what we're talking about, guys. When we say eat intuitive, it's like learning your body, then letting go of control, and then working with it. So going back to being in a relationship, a healthy relationship is defined as not being diseased or always in good form. And that term always, I think, isn't what we in society deem it as. Like, as we define it, it means like forever and perfect. But always, I think, in this is just consistency. So being in good form, consistency, meaning staying in a good line. And if you look at everyone says like being balanced is the right thing. And I totally understand that. But I think, again, the word balance has gotten misconstrued so much in our society. Surfers are said to have some of the most well-balanced feet in the world, or just bodies. And if you look at a surfer, when they drive up a wave and then they get down really low, their legs are still shaking and they have to counterbalance with the wave. So it's not like their feet are totally stable and they're not moving. It's kind of like if you ever looked at a weight scale with like gold in it, and one scale tips, and if you put more in the other one, it tips the other side. So it's kind of like a back and forth effect, as long as you make it even. And that's how food and just relationships are in general. It's like a give and take, but you just got to keep an eye on it and keep measuring and feeding each side so that one doesn't topple over the other one. So a healthy relationship, you know, obviously that boy in college was not healthy. I was obsessed and kind of stupid. Now, the guy I'm married to, I mean, I feel like we're in a healthy relationship. We communicate. I feel like I'm pretty enough. I feel like I'm deserving enough. I don't depend on him. Like, we can go our own separate ways, and I know that I'm going to be fine, and I know that he's going to be fine, and I don't have to think twice about it. How we got there is by learning, though, right? So in the beginning, I was tracking what was working, what wasn't. So if I would be jealous or clingy, it would repel him, right? So like I sensed that, and I intuitively saw that energy happening. And so I backed off on my clinginess and my jealousy, and it brought him back. And just like that, it equals food. So let's take clinginess and say you ate, you tried to follow this diet and your body rebelled against you, right? So like, why would you follow that diet if your body's not changing, or if you're looking demaciated? That's another thing too. It's like sometimes people will jump on a diet and they completely demaciated and they're not strong anymore. Or they, you know, it's just like you have to watch how your body's reacting to this. And if it's not doing anything, just because everyone else is doing it and it's like the cool thing to do, like keto is really cool right now. But if your body's not changing, why are you doing that and just putting yourself through that? Like, we need all three. Like we talked about last time, we need all three macros. So unless your doctor or somebody tells, and you're like a super specialized athlete that has to be on keto, then don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. Listen to your body and watch how it reacts. And if your body responds better to carbs, then keep doing it. Carbs are not a bad thing. Or it might respond better to fat, or it might respond better to protein. But again, be honest with yourself and don't tell your body what it should do. Your body needs to tell you what to do, and you need to be flexible enough and have a relationship with your body, not to be an abusive partner with it. You need to step back and listen to your body and ask and give what it is asking for. So again, you know, I've been through my own journeys of this. I mean, when I graduated college, and I wasn't really running anymore, it was really, really hard. I think it's 23 to 25. Because I wasn't running as intensely as I was, and I was working a full-time job, and it was always dark when I got off, so I couldn't really run, so I didn't really know how to work out. So the only thing I felt like I could control was by calorie tracking, and I had never done that before in college. So I started calorie tracking, and it was kind of fun. You know, I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know this about myself. So again, there was that education process where I started learning a lot, but then it had a dopamine effect, right? I got addicted to it. And then I started tracking every single little thing I do. And I'd freak out if I went over, even if it was just by like 2 or 3 calories. And I was in shape. If you look at a picture of me then, when I was 23, 24, 25, I looked really skinny, and I was actually weak, and I didn't know I was weak until I was the way I am now. I'm strong as fuck. Like I am through 26 to 29, I started to get a little bit more flexible and trusting of myself and my body. And I also realized that I don't like being addicted to things or controlled by things. So I just got rid of that tracking. So I actually ate more than I was when I was 23 through 25. I run less now than I did way back then. I only run 2 or 3 times a week now, and it's maybe less than 30 minutes. I lift more, I actually walk a lot more than I run, I have more rest days, I'm stronger, faster, and I feel prettier than I did when I was that young. And man, if that boy in college can see me now, well, sucker, lost. But anyway, so I don't know, I want women to be confident, and I wish that I would have been told this when I was younger. And I just see these younger girls dealing with this stuff way too early, and I think it just comes from people who are older than them, watching them do it, watching people on social media do it, and just having all of this stuff fed to them. I think that we should just be, again, a little bit more mindful about our impact. And I'm sure, like, we are supposed to take care of our own bodies. It's just like that airplane thing where if, like, the mask drops, you got to put on yours first before you put on your kids. I totally get that. But at the same time, as soon as you put your mask on, you got to turn and put your kid's mask on, right? So it's not like you just care about yourself. So same thing, take care of your body, but then turn to your right and say, oh, hey, am I setting a good example for my kid? So, like, the women I work with a lot, most of them use calorie counting, and they justify their eating by working out. And I heard this woman tell me the other day, like, I don't believe that I'm pretty, but I tell my daughter that anyway. And I just told her, I was like, dude, look, like, your daughter can see that. Little kids are so intuitive if their parents actually feel something. And so how you do that is up to you. Everyone feels pretty in their own way. But again, remember, your worth does not come from how much you work out, how much you run, how much you calorie count. Your worth comes from your impact and how well you live your life. It's not just with the older women I work with, it's young women too. I mean, there's some young as 16 saying, I need a better body. And I'm like, dude, you're still growing into your body. Like, how are you already thinking this? Because I don't know. It wasn't on my radar until I was in college. So I just am baffled at this. I get a little scared. And so I think, again, it's good if it's on their radar. Again, like, if they can educate themselves younger, great. Maybe their hormones will stay more stable throughout their life and they'll be able to eat accordingly and more intuitively. But if we don't show them how to do that, and if we don't have these conversations, then they're just going to fall into the same trap as we all did. The other thing that bothers me is, now you got me on a rampage, so all the people who ask me these questions, so thanks for continuing to be patient listening to me. But these young girls that I'm working with too, so it's not just, so I work with all ages, but I'm working with a young girl too who's younger than 16, and with a specific sport that she's playing, they told her that she needs to be fitter. And again, going back to society's terminology, it has been so misconstrued. Fitter or fit is skinny, and lean is that's how they define it. And so this little girl knows that. And so she asked me, like, should I be on a diet? And I'm like, no, because you're 9. So you should not be on a diet. And your coaches need to use better terminology rather than fitter. Maybe they need to start saying things like, hey, maybe you should come in and practice, and we can do, you know, to get you more in the weight room to make you stronger. Or maybe we need to do some technique or drills. And again, nutrition is good, and it's, you got to eat clean and balanced if you're an athlete. But at the same time, your nutrition is not what makes you a good athlete. It's a part of it, but it's not 100% of it. It's just like it's a pie graph, right? Like, it's only a slither of the pie. Everything else needs to come into play too. Your confidence, your brain, your soul, your teammates, your coaches, your environment, your immunity health, and all that stuff, and how much time you spend on technique, and how much you spend in the game. It's all of those things wrapped in one, guys. But so many people just justify it off of eating. So I think that we should eliminate the words fit, thin, six-pack, and bubble butt, because those are the things that people ask for the most, and it just is frankly annoying me, because I just think that those things don't even mean what they're supposed to mean anymore. And I would like to enhance our vocabulary by, like, saying things like, you know, instead of, like, she looks so fit, or she looks so thin, or she's got a six-pack. When you look at an athlete or someone that's good at what they do, like, she looks like a badass, or, you know, she's gotten really fast because she's worked so hard, she's gotten so strong, she's been so focused. It's just can we compliment on the character more than the looks? Because maybe that'll help slowly ripple effect into society. And I know it's not the sexy thing, and I know that a lot of people put a lot of value on their body, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I think our focus needs to be elsewhere right now, because we have so much going on with this looks, and we have become completely obsessed with ourselves. So to wrap it up, I want you guys to think about your most unhealthy relationship with another human. It could be a friend, it could be boyfriend, girlfriend, parent, whatever. Write down those things that made it unhealthy, and then translate that to your food life. Do any of those draw lines? And then look at your most healthy relationship and then compare that to your food life, even your workout life. Draw the lines, how many of those connect to that, and see if, you know, you're making a healthy move or an unhealthy move. But yeah, I love you guys, and I hope that you go out there and make an impact. I'm out.